Mike working?
May not be on. Yeah. Yeah, it's working.
Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording.
I'm blind. I can't hardly see the thing.
Yeah, I tapped it right before I walked over here. I can see a little red.
So I named him Meet Drax.
Is that from Marvel?
Yeah.
Figures.
Y'all get to know about him a little bit later on.
Hopefully they'll get some real up close footage of him.
Yep.
In about, what, a month and a half? A little over a month and a half.
Yeah,
just that's a little bit over. That's crazy that it's that close.
I can't wait.
Welcome back to the 25 High Outdoors Podcast. I feel like we got a whole heck of a lot to get into. And by the way, it's raining if you can hear that. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, I'm not sure how well the mics block out the sound of rain hitting the roof.
I don't know. It might but be ASMR or something.
We're a little bit rusty. We hadn't done this in a couple weeks. Or four, to be exact, I think. Because
we haven't even posted a video in like 2 weeks.
Because Zach screwed around and got COVID.
Yeah, like, from your brother-in-law.
From my brother-in-law. And then I was able to avoid that situation. And after Zach got recovered from, or was on the line of getting recovered from COVID, I got COVID from I got COVID from my parents. I don't know where they got it from.
So, yeah.
So, if I cough a little bit, I'm sorry. I still have a little bit of a lingering cough.
Did you ever lose, like, taste or smell or anything?
It was weird. I lost taste for, like, a day. And it didn't lose taste, just made things taste weird. Never lost smell or anything, but
I had something. I never lost taste or smell or any of that, but for a couple of days, like anything that was like a fruit or fruit flavored smelled rotten. It tasted the same. It's just like, if I smell like an apple or a banana or something, it smelled like it was rotten.
It was probably all that zinc you were taking.
I don't know. There's no telling. I was taking a lot of stuff, a lot of vitamins and mess, but
we're over it. After feeling like I've been hit by a couple semi trucks with body aches, that was about the worst of it.
Yeah. Oh, and then not only did we have COVID, but I started school this semester of school 2 weeks ago, so I've been really busy with that. It's a fairly busy semester, but I have plenty of free time to get out in the woods because I know how to schedule.
Yeah.
But
and I have work, so.
Yeah. Oh, we haven't even like done the normal intro yet.
What's that?
Threads Custom Bowstrings.
Make sure you check out Threads Custom Bowstrings. Our merch and make sure you check out Native Sense. We got quite a display on the table right here in front of us. Check them out. NativeSenseLLC.com, Threads Custom Bowstrings, and then our merch down link below for our hats and decals.
Speaking of merch, so I don't know how well you can see this cup, but if you want a cup just like this, all you have to do is go on our website, buy a decal, and put it on a cup that looks just like this.
Yeah.
I would like to one day like sell some cups like this, or at least just have some laying around that.
Like, I know a guy.
I know you do. Like,
or a girl.
This is a decal.
I know a woman.
Yeah. This is a decal. I think it looks pretty slick, but it'd also look pretty nice if it was like etched in or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, so, you found any update scouting? Found anything new?
Well, I've had a time scouting this year. I've been, in the last week, in two separate WMAs. So, the first scenario, I was, I don't know why I just remembered this, but here's your camera battery. So, Wednesday, I think it was, I was in this WMA that's like probably 4 hours from home, and it's like a really good drive from school, and I don't know a whole bunch of people up there, and I'm driving around, and I notice my truck's pulling really hard to the left, and I'm like, that's weird. Then I go around a turn, and I'm like, that sounded really weird. Like, it sounded like my tire's scrubbing, but, like, my truck's stopped. That's weird. So then I stick my head out the window, and, well, I'm pretty much driving on the rim. So, and I'd only scouted one spot. I had walked probably a mile and a half around this whole entire clear cut that ended up being trash. Like, the clear cut was way more open than I thought it was going to be. The bottoms were way more open. I was like not finding any fresh or old sign. So I was like, well, this is just garbage. I just wasted however long it took me to walk a mile and a half. And then I get halfway down the road to the next spot and my tire's flat. So middle center of the WMA2, like not nowhere near pavement. I couldn't get to my spare. And I had to call a buddy to drive out there. It took him a while to get there, but thank God he did get there. And he had a tire plug kit, and that was enough to get me back. And in the same tire, just last night, I was on a WMA around here. And we were driving around tracking roads and trying to do a little creek hopping fishing. And a rock about, like, I don't know, bigger than a 50-cent piece shows through the tread of the tire. I have no clue how it happened. But yeah, that happened, and we had to, you know.
So the moral of the story is make sure you have good tires when you start hunting.
Yeah, especially when it's 900 degrees outside and your AC doesn't really work that great. It's rough.
You gotta think about fixing that.
I don't know, the thing is, like, as soon as I, like, get around to like wanting to fix my AC, it's like, all right, I need to fix it. I got the money, I got the time, whatever it may be. Let's go fix it.
And you're then like, oh, a new saddle.
Nah. We'll talk about
hey,
that a little later.
How about those? That's new type of sticks there.
No. Well,
you
really,
know what? I need inserts for my arrows.
Really? Really?
I really want to go out of state hunting this year. I think I'm going to save my money for that.
Well, no, what really actually happens is by the time that happens, I'm like, it'll only be a couple months before we get a cold front, and then I won't need AC. So, but yeah, I do make a lot of dumb purchases. What have you been up to? Have you scouted any?
I've been scouting a little bit. I finally found a buck worth giving a name to, and his name is Drax. He's named after a Marvel character, if
is
y'all are
blue,
familiar
dude?
With that. No, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. The guy is played by Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like really muscular. He's
the guy that can move really slow.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully that buck doesn't take after him on that. But Drax is a pretty impressive South Alabama buck. He's not.
He's
all right. he reminds me of ways of Dirty Elvis a little bit, but he's not as put together in a couple ways.
Yeah.
But you'll see him in the future. But I always like to name bucks. I'm really about. I've only had him on camera for about a week now. And I'm about to hit him pretty hard. I'm going to set about four or five more cameras up in that area, which I found him, to try to get more of a understanding about him, to try to find him in different locations. Right now, I only have him at night, so that's not the best situation. But I do have quite a bit of leeway in that area to be able to find him more in the day. I'm going to take those cameras in, I'm gonna move them, and I'm gonna hit kind of toward the bottoms and try to find more of his natural daytime route. But I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm probably gonna hit him pretty hard this coming up weekend.
Yeah, I got that sounds like a good plan. Like, just once you find a good buck, stay in that area until like you get daylight pictures or you find I don't know, where there's one good buck, there's either, usually in my experience, there's either nothing around there that's even close, or there's another one or two.
There's two good bucks. I didn't even show them to you. They're on my laptop, but there's two other solid bucks in that area.
Yeah.
They're not him, obviously. Like, you can tell there is a significant difference between him and the other two. But they're good bucks. One of them comes up. And he's, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's a seven. But he comes up. He's only about 15 inches wide, but his main beams come back up and, like, overlap each other by, like, an inch.
Really?
Yeah, and they're, like, kind of, like, stacked on top of each other. He's pretty cool. Yeah.
I love that.
It'd be hard for me to pass him up just because of that characteristic if he walked in front of me.
I've seen a couple mounts like that, but I've never seen a deer like that, like, in person or on trail cameras or anything.
Yeah. And he's got pretty good mass to him, like, but he's nothing, like, impressive, but he's really cool looking.
Oh, that 12 point that my dad shot a few years back, his main beams, I'm sure you've seen it, but they're not but like that far apart or something.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It does kill you though when you talk about like tip spread, if you pay attention
negative
to
one
that
inch.
Negative 1 inch. Yeah, I don't know. Is that how they do that? If they overlap each other like an inch, do you subtract it?
I think
you
just measure the distance between the tips, whatever it
is. So like a quarter of an inch or whatever.
I don't know. I know, I'm pretty sure, like, I don't care. I like scoring deer just for the fun of it. Like, I really don't care that much about score, but isn't it like they use the inside spread as part of the actual numbers, and then the other spreads,
they're just there. They're references.
Yeah, I think what it is like to prevent people from like lying about the score or lying about a deer, because it's like they could score a deer, and if the measurements don't line up, then they're like, hey, something's fishy. Like the extra measurement.
It would be insane to have a buck that had like a 20 inside spread and then only have like a 5 inch tip to tip. I'm sure it's possible, but that would be that might throw a flag out there,
or it would be a very identifiable deer for like if that deer was somehow it was like big enough to actually get in the books, that'd be a deer that they would actually look at and be like, all right, well, it's definitely identifiable. I don't know, it's for like record keeping or something.
But like, the only reason I pay attention, like, I score most of my bigger bucks just because people ask.
Yeah.
I like doing it because it's fun to sit down and score them. Like, I mean, I've scored. I couldn't tell you to this day, but I've scored just about everything on this wall.
Yeah.
There's only two of them I could tell you the score of.
I can tell you the score on that one right now. About 11.
But I can tell you what, I was a proud dude when I killed
dude.
That.
Oh, yeah.
I think at 05, I was nine years old. So.
Yeah. You killed your first at.
I killed my first doe at 7, my first buck at 8.
I shot.
But they were in the same year. Yeah.
I shot my first deer when I was 8. So. But anyway, I've got two bucks that I'm interested in, but one of them, I had a crazy thing happen. Like, normally, 90% of the time or more, on my lease and even on the public and stuff, like, if I get a back to a group of bucks, it's usually two bucks. It's a pair. It's not really a bachelor group. And, like, every now and then you'll see three, or you'll see, like, a spike with the pair every now and then, whatever the case.
I see a lot of threes.
Yeah.
But I don't ever see more than three. You know?
So I don't have the pictures saved on my phone
that
but
are constantly together. Like you'll sometimes I'll see three, or sometimes I'll see two, and sometimes I'll get a picture of all five of them. But they're not consistently together.
Exactly. So like most of my bigger bucks will come in alone the majority of the time. And then, like, about half the time they're alone, half the time they've got a smaller buck with them, is what I see a lot. Like, I don't see a ton of, like, bachelor groups. And then, I feel like a lot of my deer are just more, hermit type than yours for some reason. I don't know why, but I don't know. But anyway, I had this one nice buck showing up. Showed up like a lot during daylight, like broad daylight, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, you know, plenty of daylight before and after. And then I put some more corn out there and came back a couple weeks later to check it. And I've got a bachelor group of 4 young bucks that are never not together. Like, I've never seen anything like it, because it's not like, like, I've had plenty of scenarios where it's, you'll get a couple pictures of 4 or 5 bucks together, but the majority of time it's like 2 bachelor groups that ranges like kind of overlap or something. But to have 4 bucks running, like, never not running together, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But and then the big buck didn't show up, but I haven't been back there to check it in right at 2 weeks, so I probably should have done that today, but hurricanes and...
Yeah, we are technically doing a podcast in a hurricane right now.
Yes, we are. And speaking of that, prayers go out to the whole Gulf Coast that's experiencing it, but
yeah,
there's not much we can really do about it except pray that everything's all right.
Yeah, it's a big dude, too.
Yeah, it was a tropical depression like a couple of days ago or a day ago, and then bam, category whatever.
It's like it was borderline 5.
Really?
Yeah. It's starting to hit Louisiana right now.
Yeah.
But it dwarfs Katrina.
Yeah.
But the way it's coming in, it's not supposed to have as big as an impact.
Yeah, because like I was reading or watching the news, and they said that like the storm surge and stuff, like it wasn't too big for New Orleans safety measures.
It's like 9 to 15 feet of storm surge. Katrina.
That's bad, because like what I was seeing, they were saying like worst case scenario was 6 to 9, but that was like yesterday.
Yeah, they said it's supposed to be 9 to 15 feet.
Goodness.
But Katrina had like a 20-something-foot storm surge. And they
hurricanes.
I watched a video today talking about the difference between the two, and what's this one's name?
Ida, I think.
Ida something. It's coming in from the southeast, kind of going northwest. So, but the reason this storm surge isn't as high is because Katrina was going due south, north to south. Like it was trapped.
South to north.
Or south to north. It was traveling also due north. And that's what made the storm surge so much worse.
I may be mixing up hurricanes because we've had so many of them. But
Ivan's the one that hit us really bad.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was Ivan. I'm pretty sure it was Katrina. One of the biggest issues was... And this was also that really recent one that was bad, like a couple years back. I don't know. There's been a few hurricanes that...
Michael?
No, like recent.
You talking about Sally or whatever hit last year? Just rain?
No.
Sally was just pure rain.
No, either way, a lot of these hurricanes are worse than they are when they just hit shore and stop.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's the reason Sally was so bad, because it was just a lot of rain. Yeah,
I know it flooded my
house. It weakened the infrastructures and stuff.
Yeah. But I've also heard, I don't know exactly what it does, because I haven't been paying attention when it's happened, but hurricanes can really screw up a deer season too.
Yeah, I guarantee, like I'm willing to bet everything I have on last year's hunting season was so bad because of Sally. And that other storm, whatever, that other hurricane that came through right after.
Now, I will say.
All that rain,
yeah.
That had a lot to do with what killed our hunting season last year.
I will say this, though. Granted, the swamps up there at school are absolute garbage. There's, like, almost no deer, and there's no patterns. I don't understand it. But right before and right after that hurricane – were two of my best hunts up there. Because me and my buddy Branch almost doubled up the day before it hit. And then, like, a couple days after it hit, I sat and saw, like, 6 deer in one afternoon. And that was the most deer I saw in one sit all the way until the rut.
Yeah, I just... I remember having to go after Sally, and like we had to cut out like 16 trees across the roads.
That's rough.
But anyway, my scouting really hadn't showed too much results. I've gotten a lot of pictures of a lot of different bucks, but nothing impressive until I found Drax.
Yeah.
Now, there is a couple bucks in there that I would shoot just because I have a history with them. Right, one of them I've had a history with, but he's nothing impressive. Like, he's nothing super impressive, but the one with Skyscraper.
Yeah.
I sent you a picture of. He's on at least five videos from last year because I sit there and watched him so many times, and he's a 4 to 5 year old this year, and he just don't have the genetics to be anything more than what he is. He's gonna be an 8 point. He's a very piney wood deer.
He's tall, dude.
He's very tall, but like it's because his main beams, he's very tall because his main beams, the very tip of them, don't stick out 2 inches further than his base does from his head.
Yeah.
He goes straight up pretty much. And
he's a cool looking deer, in my opinion.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's a very cool looking deer. But like he's not gonna be like his main beam, his base mass isn't gonna be 3.5 inches.
Yeah, but he's a cool looking deer. Yeah. Dude, that one buck where the four musketeers are.
The four musketeers?
Yeah. The four bucks that are literally always running together. I got a super spike on that in that bachelor group, and I'm tempted. Just because he looks cool. If he walks out in full velvet, dude, and he's got like 13-inch spikes sticking off his head, full velvet. Imagine that euro. That would be so cool.
No.
I don't know. But anyway,
the only excuse anybody ever has to shoot a spike is if it's their first deer.
I've shot plenty of spikes after my first
deer. Or if they're a kid. Like that is probably the only spike I ever shot, and it was technically my second buck.
I wish I could say the same. I don't know. I've
that's
shot.
That's the only spike that I shot knowing it was a spike.
Yeah,
I have shot a couple of does that ended up being button bucks whenever I was younger. But
I shot a couple of does that ended up having like 6-inch spikes on it.
I'm talking about even before we had to check them. Like, yeah. I'd shoot a doe and then end up walking out there having like 1/4-inch knobs sticking up.
That's
top
what
of
I'm saying.
Head.
No,
that makes you upset, but it happens.
No, when I was a kid, there's this one buck that we thought it was a doe, and me and my dad were sitting there all afternoon watching this deer, and finally it was getting dark, and I told my dad, I was like, I just want to kill something. Like, I please let me kill it. It's a doe. We've been watching it. Just let me kill it. And he was like, fine, whatever. And I stuck the gun out the window and shot, and of course it run off. I didn't know what I was doing, really. And we went and tracked it down, and sure enough, had a little spikes about 3 inches.
It's funny, like my dad is the last one at our club to shoot a spike.
Really?
Like it was like 7 years ago or something like that, and it was like one of the last days of the season. We wanted some more meat. Mm-hmm. And he thought it was a doe at the very back end of the food plot. He shot him, and still people at our hunt club still don't let him live it down because that thing had like 1/2-inch knob sticking out the top of his head, and we still give him crap about shooting that spike. And I mean, it doesn't matter how many good bucks he shoots after that. You're always going to talk about that little spike that he shot on the last day or whatever. That was even before we said to start game checking. I mean, we've been game checking like 6 years now, something like that.
I don't even remember. I know
6 or 7.
I know before the app came out and before I started using the app, you had to like write it on your license.
Yeah, but the first couple years mainly the years that you had to write it on your license, it was actually a voluntary check-in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then whenever they came out with the app is when they started making it mandatory.
Yeah. And they still have it like call in too.
Yeah, you can still call them in.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would make that choice because you can.
It takes 2 seconds on the app.
Yeah.
But that's a big plug to the Outdoor Alabama app. If you're hunting in Alabama, you don't have it, you probably should download it.
Oh, it makes life a lot easier. Oh, yeah. And you can pull up, like,
every WMA, every rule, every law.
Yeah, yeah. All the season stats and everything. I mean, you can pull up anything. You could even go on there and find out when you can hunt snipe.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen a snipe.
I've seen it. Well, I don't know if I've seen a snipe, but I've seen some woodcocks. They're the same thing. It's like a little swamp bird. It's got a really long nose. They're not very pretty birds, but apparently they're like, I feel like the people who hunt them are, they're kind of comparable to a swamp quail. Like, yeah. Imagine a quail that lives in the swamp.
Here's a question. Why don't you let anybody ever take you snipe hunting?
I don't know.
You know, that's a big thing.
It's a big, like, joke.
That's a big joke. Why don't let anybody ever take you snipe hunt? Well, snipe's a real thing. You can go hunt it. Why is that even a thing? That's actually even in a Brantley Gilbert song. I think Country Must Be Countrywide, that old song, that older song. He says, "Don't let anybody ever take you snipe hunting."
I don't know. I don't know where it came from. Like that, I don't know. So that book that's in that bachelor group, or that's in the same spot that the bachelor group is in now, that I haven't got a picture of. I've never seen him before season. I've only, as far as like trail cameras or in person or whatever, never laid eyes on him. And all my trail cameras, I've never seen him until the rut. And during the rut, I've gotten pictures of him last rut and the rut before that. So this will be the third year that I've known about him. First time I've ever seen him in, like, before season, and had a decent bead on him before season. So, number one, being that I have history with him, and he should be a 5-ish year old deer. And number two, the fact that he disappeared when a bunch of little bucks showed up. And number three, never having any history with him this time of year. What's your next move? Like, if you're in the same situation.
I'm going. But okay, so basically, the road that you drive down to go to where it's on, is it facing, which direction is it facing? North, is that road north, south, east, west?
It's not really off a road. So you go down.
Okay, well, the nearest bottom to it, which parallel is it running?
It's perpendicular to the pipeline.
So I am,
wraps around.
I'm taking a camera, and I'm going 200 to 300 yards each way off of it, and depending on the, like, if there's a bottom, I'm going to go 200 yards, 300 yards one way, 300 yards the other way. And I'm going to set up one like that. And if there's any way that I can access behind it, I'm setting up a camera right there and kind of making a triangle in that area. Yeah. trying to triangulate which direction he basically comes from.
Yeah.
So basically the buck that I have on Drax, I have him in a central location, and I'm going to basically go past where my camera's at, about 300 yards, and I'm going to go north about 300 yards, and I'm going to go south about 300 yards.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to triangulate which area that he is actually his, towards his home range.
What's interesting is the daylight pictures I had of him, where he was not coming from the bottom. Well,
you don't know, because he could have circled.
He could have, but, like, it's when you're facing the way the camera's positioned and how far away the corn is and how much you can see, when the first picture is barely in frame over here, he came from up the hill. Which, granted, it was also, like, an 8 a.m. picture, and he could have been headed back to the bottom. To bed, I don't know, but It's interesting. I had a camera. I had it. So I've got that camera, and I've got like mostly bucks, honestly. Like not a ton of does there.
Well, where you get bucks, you're gonna get majority bucks, and if you get majority does, you're probably not gonna get very many bucks.
Well, it's what I was gonna say is like last year or 2 years ago, which granted it was a year or two ago, I had a camera probably only like 150 yards away, just across the pipeline, and I got like 19 does on camera and never got a buck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when you get a lot of does,
150 yards from there.
When you get a lot of does on a camera, unless you're specifically targeting does for some reason,
yeah,
you might as well move it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you're feeding that area, you might want to continue feeding it. Not every time you go out there, but every other time to try to keep the does drawn that way.
Yeah.
Instead of them coming over to your other spots.
Yeah.
But where you get a lot of does, you're not going to get a lot of bucks this time of year.
Yeah,
now, that might be somewhere you want to continue taking care of, so you can go climb there about mid-January and have anywhere, you know, any time during a rut-ish timeline,
yeah,
to where you know where those are at, because that's where bucks are coming whenever they get to that point.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, bucks, they change their patterns throughout the year. Like, they got a summer pattern, and then they got, like, the early season pattern, and then it's, like, depending on how much pressure they get, they change it up. And
then boom, it goes boom, random.
Yeah, and then the rut. And, well, according to some GPS stuff that I've been paying attention to, apparently, yes, bucks are super random and, like, all that during the rut, but they're a lot more consistent than you'd ever think they would.
They stick to their the vast majority of them stick to their core area still. Whenever you have a high doe population, definitely. They like Dirty Elvis, he was killed in the same area.
Yeah.
And that was after he ran himself just about to death, you know.
He
stayed in that area. Yeah. So and I mean, every now, you know, that's what I like the vast majority of the time. Like when somebody, a lot of people don't notice this, that just like your weekend warriors that just go sit on food plots, stuff like that. They don't,
yeah,
nothing wrong with doing that, but they'll kill a big buck on their property and they're like, this buck came from a long way away running does. That, yeah, more than likely that buck was just lived there and just never moved unless he absolutely had to.
Probably a bedding area not far from the food plot. And what happened was there was a very good trail of 100, 150 yards, however much downwind of that food plot. And that deer would sit there and walk downwind of that food plot just about every day right around dusk. And what happened was it was rut. He was getting excited. He got up a little earlier than he should have.
And he stepped
and
out.
And then he was circling downwind of that food plot, and before he smelled human scent, he smelled a hot doe. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened.
As soon as he smelled that hot doe, he didn't care. Mm-hmm. He could care less about any other scent.
Exactly.
But most of the time, deer are in that area. Now you can shoot a deer that ran a doe 5 miles.
Well, yeah. There's plenty of deer that like
most
that
time
literally
that's not the
just
case.
Run.
Yeah,
and there's. Like, looking at GPS and, like, other stuff, that like, anecdotal data from what hunters see, it's like there definitely are a lot of deer that stick to their main area, which they might expand their main area to, like, during the rut, or they might get out of it a little bit more often. And then there's, like, just as many deer that literally just, all right, I'm gonna walk to the next county to find my new girlfriend.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna do, if my phone will work, I'm gonna do the map. Because the deer roam quite a bit to begin with. So a summertime pattern for a buck may be, let's see, I'm gonna go Dirty Elvis real quick on this map. and try to get you a acreage area of how much acreage I had him covering.
Yeah, summertime patterns, a buck summertime pattern is usually a lot wider than like their like early season pattern. Like that velvet comes off and then they start changing their patterns. They start hearing trucks, they start smelling people, and their pattern really shrinks. Or it either shrinks or it moves. Is it their area, their core main area or whatever.
So roughly, just doing this real quick, like Dirty Elvis, he had a home range of 200 acres.
Yeah.
Of what I had proof of him being on. Like, so, and then I could add a little bit more than that because we found a picture of him the year before a little bit further away that another guy in our hunting club got a picture of him the year before that was roughly, you know, added another 30 or 40 acres onto that. Yeah. So their home range to begin with can be pretty huge. Now, how many does you think can live on 200 acres?
Well, the square mile is 400, and Alabama's deer density, I want to say, is like 15 per square mile, so, or 30 per square mile, something crazy. So, like, I'd say around here, and on your lease, probably 20 on 250 acres.
I'd say probably more than that.
At least 20 is
what I'd say probably 40 or 50 does.
Maybe.
But you just think about it. So, just topically, it's only 25. If there's only 25 does, then, but he was the beast of that area. He was the dominant buck. He's going to have the opportunity to breed half of those.
Oh, yeah.
The a couple other decent bucks may throw in with the other ones, but most of those more mature does are going to hold off for that type of buck's caliber to breed them. That's what a lot of people don't understand is a mature doe will fight off and run away from younger bucks waiting on those bigger mature bucks too.
Well, it's that, and it's also that those younger bucks, as soon as that doe starts to get a hint of smelling right, those younger bucks are hitting, they're dogging them. And the does know that they're not ready,
mm-hmm.
but then that big buck knows the smell of when they actually are ready.
He waits.
Yeah, and then he just goes in there and fights them all off because he knows it's the right time and he knows he's the boss.
Yeah, and that's why you need native scents to fool that big buck to come into your area.
But 2.5-year-old deer do breed a lot of does. They breed the majority of does, but definitely not the majority of mature does.
Yeah, they get the they get the maiden ones.
Yeah. Another scenario, let's say this is completely random. It's not like I'm actually going through this right now or anything. Completely random scenario. Let's say you put out a camera, put out some corn. It's a spot that nobody's ever gonna go into. You also probably can't hunt this spot, honestly, because it's too thick. And you're like, well, whatever, there's a lot of bucks on in here. I'm going to put out a camera. I'm going to put out some corn. And for the first, like, 3, 4, 5 days, you don't get hardly anything. And then all of a sudden, from then until you go to pull your camera, you have a really nice buck in there, extremely consistent, like, shows up right before midnight and leaves right around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and he's super, super consistent at midnight, and you know where he's coming from. Like, you know the direction he comes into that camera every time because that's the only trail, and you see him coming in there. Super consistent, just 5 hours too late. What do you do there?
Almost the same exact things I said earlier, but your main goal, if he's there consistently at night, your main goal is to try to find his trail and get down his trail as close as you can without bumping him out and climbing up on his trail to hope you catch him going up to that area while it's still daylight.
So, yeah. So what I did, I got to looking on my maps, and I was looking at the direction he come from. Like, I was looking at the – I remembered the orientation of the camera, and, it, like, every time he was coming in from this way, camera's facing this way. So I was looking this way on the map. I know you, if you're listening, you can't see what I'm doing, and if you're watching, you probably couldn't see any of that either. But basically, if he's coming in from the left, and I know, like, the general trail he's on, I went back to the – to the left, I think it's about 300 to 400 yards, and there's like this big wide open trail that just so happened to be the same plot. It used to be a plot that we planted, and it's where I killed my first deer with a bow ever. And I was like, well, this would be pretty cool to get a deer here. So I prepped a tree a little bit, prepped the trail a little bit, and dumped out some corn in the camera there.
Yeah, I mean,
the issue is...
Big bucks are very lazy.
Yeah.
They are going to use the trails that are naturally there. They're going to use natural road, old logging road roadways.
At night.
They'll use roadways at night, just straight up roads.
Yeah.
But they were going to take the path of least resistance, and bucks, as sketchy as they may be about coming in to those areas during the day, bucks like big openings. They like big openings. They may not come out there during the middle of the day, but big bucks like big edges. They like to be able to work around big edges to be able to see a long way. My experience is a lot of bucks.
On your lease,
maybe. Our old lease, everything. They're not going to come in there into a pressured situation. They're not going to just walk out there randomly during the middle of the day. I'm talking about big bucks. Young bucks will all the time.
Yeah.
But that big bucks like big edges. They like to be able to see a long way.
Yeah.
So they're going to work those areas that they can naturally see. Now, if it's a old food plot that hadn't been taken care of or managed in years, they're liable to use that just like just to walk across at any point because there's no human presence there.
Yeah. It's weird because it's like a – it's like a
we don't have any old food plots that don't get used. So I don't have much experience with that. Yeah. But I mean, I'm going to try to find their natural travel path.
Yeah.
And then that's what you're going to hunt on.
The weird thing about that spot, like it he very could have the way I didn't follow just straight up walk that deer trail, which I probably should have. Just to kind of see. But it's very likely that that trail went back and then cut back towards the creek bottom or cut even parallel to the road more, and he was bedding right next to the road. You know, there's no telling, really. It's just it just so happened that the best I could tell of where, like 300 or 400 yards back down what appeared to be roughly his trail, that old food plot was there, and I'm like, this is going to be my best option in this thick, nasty.
I'd say it's definitely worth a try
to
set up and see if anything comes. But one of my go-tos whenever I find a buck and I'm going to try to distinguish it, one of my best bets is, like we talked about in an earlier podcast, is find where two bottoms meet.
Yeah.
And preferably, if you're standing on top of the before and looking down into the bottom, preferably you're facing south at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bucks love those bottoms that is facing south. That way, when it's a north wind, it pulls it down into that bottom. They'll travel that edge, and all their scent and their stuff, they'll be able to naturally pick up on. That's my favorite thing to look for is I'm standing there and I'm facing toward a bottom and I'm facing south. That's where I'm going to put a camera up to try to see if he's traveling that, because no matter really when the what direction the wind is, that is their one of their favorite situations to walk down.
I haven't really showed you this spot, and my map won't load, but it's a different situation than a lot of my lease because it's small chunk. And there's not much creek to work with, and there's not a ton of woods to work with, but also it's one of the areas that a lot of big bucks have come off of. It's just that general area. Yeah, my map's not loading. There's no service in here, but anyway.
Yeah.
One thing I'm really excited, one of the reasons why I'm putting in a decent bit of work for that deer, he's not a giant. But he's one of the biggest I've got on camera, and he looks like his velvet's growing and his antlers are growing a lot slower than most of my other bucks, and that's one of the reasons why I'm putting a little extra effort into that, because I really want to kill another velvet buck.
Yeah.
If I can get a good pattern on him, October 16th rolls around and he's still in velvet and showing up in daylight, I'll be pretty happy.
I'd love to shoot another velvet buck.
It's just cool. And, like, how many people do you think a year, other than, like, the occasional cactus buck, how many people a year do you think kill velvet bucks in Alabama?
Ten, maybe.
I think that's a high guess.
maybe.
It's just such a unique opportunity because, like, yeah, you can go to, like, even, like, Kentucky, their velvet hunt or their early season stuff, I think their season opens up September 15th, I want to say, in Kentucky. And, like, some of the bucks are already shedding velvet.
Yeah, you have a good chance of killing one up there. And then Tennessee has the velvet hunt.
But. Yeah, but that's, like, full on velvet. I'm saying, like, the Kentucky hunt, there, like, a lot of bucks are already shed velvet. And down here, it's like, on some years, depends on kind of the, I don't know what it depends on, but it depends on the year and how the rut was and weather or something.
Well, here's good news for you. More screwed up, and every year you can tell it happens more and more. More screwed up our rut gets, the more velvet bucks you'll have the opportunity to hunt.
Pretty much, yeah. Because, like, yeah.
If you see a velvet buck, other than the opportunity to kill a velvet buck, you probably need to kill him because he probably ain't going to turn to his normal clock as far as being rutting and stuff like that.
And it's 100% based off the does. Like, a buck.
Yeah, but.
A buck's ready as soon as he loses velvet.
There's no telling what it does to their maturity's timeline, though.
It's just, which, I mean, with global warming or whatever, we're basically going to be South Florida eventually, and our bucks are going to be rutting year-round.
Yeah, okay.
But it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, okay. And what?
I don't know.
20,000 years, something like that?
No, in 20,000 years, we'll be in another ice age. No, 80,000 years, we'll be in another ice age.
I wish I could live through that. That'd be pretty cool.
Like mastodons and woolly mammoths come back. Step bison with 6 foot. It's a bison with 6 foot wide antlers.
We're just going to have to do some serious infrastructure on our power.
On our time. Yeah. We need a time machine, though, so we can just go there with a couple guns. I feel like it's a lot more difficult or a lot less. Wait. I feel like it's easier to mess up the time-space continuum going back in time than forward in time. Because if you go 80,000 years in the future and you kill one animal, it's not going to be like that old movie where the dude steps on a butterfly and he comes back and humans are extinct or whatever.
But that always happened. That ain't how time works. But
I know. It's like this dude goes back in time, and he stepped on a butterfly. And when he came back, the Earth was completely different. It was
Yeah, I know. That's the BS version of what time travel would do.
No, that's real.
No, it's not. In that sense means it always happened. He always went back in time and stepped on a butterfly, so it changes nothing.
Except for his perspective.
Yeah, that's...
His perspective on thing. Yeah. Whatever, dude. do you have any fake scenarios or real scenarios you want to throw at me for how to do a deer hunt?
If you had two identical bucks, and they were on completely different sides of your property, and I'm trying to figure out a good way to word this. If you had two identical bucks on a completely different side of property having identical travel times and stuff like that, how do you determine which buck to go after and why?
Easy. Well, I say easy.
I'm talking about identical bucks.
They're both
120 inch 8 points.
Yeah. Okay. And they're coming in at the same time.
They're coming in at the same times, pretty much.
All right.
What are some of the factors that would I guess wind would have to be one. But
that was one of mine. Okay. So there's two factors. What's the other one? Yeah. So I would go like whatever the wind direction. So let's say that the north buck, I'll just split it up north and south. The north buck is coming in, and he's coming in from the north every time headed south. So you'd want a north wind, or at least like a crosswind of something. You know he's coming in straight due north.
Mm-hmm.
What if the south buck is coming in straight due east? It's a little trickier. So you go to the north buck on every northish wind, go to the south buck, and you don't know if he's J-hooking in there. Maybe you have an idea. So wind is a big thing. Whichever wind is right for whichever one is coming in is the first thing. The second thing is, which would almost be more important than wind, is how do I get in and out of there? It's access. Because if it's a 200-yard walk to the north buck and a 600-yard walk to the bottom buck, but I know I have to cross a bottom or walk really close or risk my wind blowing into a doe bedding area and blowing up, whatever the case, if there's some sort of factor to where it's risky to access the north buck, then I'd almost completely discount him until the south buck was dead. And then I'd start worrying about the north buck more.
That makes a lot of sense, but they're wrong. Your answers are wrong. The appropriate answer was you're going to call me and say, hey, I got these two bucks. You're going to go hunt this one. I'm going to go hunt that one.
Whatever.
that would be the appropriate response.
I mean, you've taken me. You've gar-holed me so many times on your lease. I don't know if I can take
I've
you.
What on. Hold you?
Gar-hold.
What do you mean?
Every time you go hunting with me, you're like, oh, man, this first place full of deer, man. You're going to see like 19 deer in this spot. I've never sat there and not seen 47 deer. I go there and I don't see anything.
That just means you're bad luck. And plus, you have killed like two or three deer off my property.
One.
So, no, like two or three.
I've killed one doe with a 300 black yard.
Yeah, but that was the most recent one. But you killed one before then, too.
No, I haven't.
He did. Or you missed one of the two.
Nope.
I remember that same year that you killed the doe, you sat there and watched the 4-point and wanted to kill it.
Oh, I wanted to, dude. I'd had such a rough season, and it was rut, and I wasn't seeing anything, and I've got a buck like 10 yards away from me.
Yeah, a 4-point.
So?
That was like maybe 15 inches.
Dude, he was something, man.
yeah, he was something. He was a young buck. He was a young buck.
You know what? Them young bucks taste better than 5-year-olds, them 6-year-olds, man.
Yeah, but those 5-6-year-olds sure do look better on a wall. And And you can't have 5 or 6 year olds if you shoot every 4 point that walks in front of you, or I've every never or shot every big spike that walks in front of
I've
you.
I've never shot a 4 point. Never shot a big spike. I've only shot little spikes.
If that spike doesn't have 20-inch main beams, he needs to walk.
Well, shoot, they're still in velvet. He might get there.
Oh, no, he ain't going to get there. Do you know 20-inch? That's 20-inch main beams.
Yeah. He might get there. I don't have a picture of him. He might. I mean, he's probably not.
He most ain't no bigger than that, hardly.
Shoot, that thing's got – he's got, like –
he matches spikes. No, he matches that longer side. That's basically how big that spike is.
No, that spike is his tines are as tall as this cup right here.
That ain't much difference between that one spike.
What are you talking about, man? I don't know. You need to.
What are you talking about,
man?
Okay.
You need to check yourself because look, that side's like 6.
Yeah, that cup's only like 7 inches tall. 8 inches tall.
It's over 8, I think. I don't know.
I got tape measure back there. We can find out.
I don't know. I got to get back to school soon, so.
You got
to
drive. When you're driving, you're getting more into the path of the hurricane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. So, one final scenario, because I feel like people don't talk enough about killing does. Everybody talks about trying to kill the biggest, baddest buck. But sometimes it's not about that.
Kill them all.
Yeah. Let's say you're an adult hunter who's new. How old are you, 25?
Yeah.
So you're 25, but you just started hunting 2 or 3 years ago. And let's say you cannot legally bait in your state. It's the third day of bow season, and you gotta kill a deer soon because you have no meat in your freezer, and you're kind of broke because you spent all your money on a brand new bow and a full saddle setup.
Okay.
How are you killing that deer?
Knowing what I know now?
No, imagine you're like, what advice would you, I guess what I'm saying is, what advice would you give to someone who's new to hunting, who really needs to kill a deer? It may not even be because you're in a meat
and
crisis.
And baiting's illegal?
Baiting's illegal. You may not even be in a meat crisis.
You pour out corn.
You need to.
No, you get to a south facing bottom and then you set up and wait for a doe to walk by because they will walk by.
Yeah.
One will walk by.
I mean, if you sit on the edge of a bottom for long enough.
A doe will walk by,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say to add to that.
Or a food plot,
Yeah, if you're on public, find the edge of a bottom where there's a draw that comes out of the bottom and there's oak trees.
Yeah, I mean.
Because if you can find a whole bunch of oak trees that meet up to the edge of a bottom, you might see two does.
Unless there's oak trees everywhere and then.
Yeah, that's true.
You just got to move around from oak patch to oak patch at waiting for...
Walk the edges of bottoms until you start seeing a whole bunch of tracks and then climb there.
Yeah. It's all about finding a sign at that point. But...
That's one thing. Like, nobody...
How many does are you going to kill this year?
73.
That's a lot. That's like a doe a day.
Hey, okay.
That's legal in Alabama.
I don't know. I need to build up my confidence a little bit with a bow. Because I don't know, you've tracked a couple deer for me, and I've missed a few deer, and I still get a little
target panic. You don't ever want to go track a deer for this guy. It's a terrible experience.
After this deer, every deer that I've actually killed with my bow has gone less than 100 yards.
What about that doe that was killed in the same spot that you killed that one, that we had to get on hand and knee.
That's not what I said.
We had to get through our hands and knees and crawl through the thickest. It was like crawling through that wall right there.
It was just about it. But you know what? You know how far she ran? About 100 yards or less.
About 100 yards or less. Yeah, but you know that 100 yards when you're on all fours feels like 600.
We walked about 80 yards or 90. just walking because it was wide open oak flat, and then right on the edge of that oak flat, it's just.
And then you're crawling, through the woods, and just barely being able to see in front of you, and then you're like, "Oh, there's the deer."
Yeah, I remember I was sitting like right on the edge, like I had just started crawling in, and I don't remember why I was behind you, because it would have made a heck of a lot more sense.
I'm a tracker.
It still would have made a heck of a lot more sense for me to crawl through a hole this big in the brush than you.
I know why you got behind me, because by the time I went through it, that hole that was only a half a foot wide was a foot wide.
So, but anyway, I remember you were crawling through that mess, and you get about 5 yards ahead of me, and I can't see you anymore. I can see your light
flickering through the woods.
Yeah, and like literally only 5-6 yards. And I'm like, I just start crawling in there because you said you found blood. And you're like, all right, there's blood right here. Oh, the deer's right there.
Yeah, that deer was like 8 inches in front of the flashlight. But, yeah.
But it only ran about 100 yards.
Yeah, 100 yards. If you make a good shot on a deer, 99% of the time, he's dying within 40.
Oh, do you want a three-blade swacker? I got one laying around at the house. It's still in a box if you want it.
I think you ought to use it.
I don't know why. I don't like them three blades. I don't trust it.
That's what killed him.
I know. I saw the video. I still don't trust him.
He did a backflip just about it whenever he died.
I know. I've seen the video.
Yeah. A couple times. How many times you seen that video? Like
60?
Yeah, 60, 70 times. You imagine me. I edited that video twice.
Yeah.
But I still go on there and watch it every now and then.
Yeah, I go back and watch some of the old hunts too.
I wish I knew about editing it as good then as I do now, because that would have been a lot better.
We're still
better
not
video.
Good at it, but we
but it's been a, whole it's heck been a lot, lot better we video.
Oh yeah, but yeah, I think it's about time I start heading back to school, man.
I'm ready for hunting season.
Oh, me too.
And we're gonna do some on site, or I guess is that the right way to put it, on-site podcasts this year too, whether it be at a hunting camp or if we go somewhere and sitting by a fire. We're gonna get a box and take all this stuff and be able to do that.
Sounds good to me.
But we appreciate y'all watching. Y'all stay tuned for more, and remember to check out Threads Custom Bowstrings on Facebook or their website, Native Sense at nativesensellc.com, and check out our hat merch and decals. Loot should be linked below. We appreciate y'all watching. Anything you want to tie us off with?
Always remember to live life 25 high.
That's a pretty good one.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you later.